20 years ago, a woman went to the King County Courthouse to get a divorce. She brought along two friends. She was divorcing a Seattle man named Timothy Blackwell. She had met him through a mail-order magazine called Asian Encounters. As she and her two friends were sitting on a bench at the courthouse, waiting for the hearing, Blackwell walked up, shot, and killed all three. Phoebe Dizon was one of the women Blackwell murdered. Phoebe's son, Derek, was 4 years old at the time. As an adult, Derek Dizon organizes an annual vigil to honor these women and other victims of domestic violence. That vigil is happening today. Dizon told KUOW's Jeannie Yandel what he can remember from the day that his mother was killed.
The day it happened, I remember the last words my mother told me, because I wanted to go with her to the courthouse, and I said to her, "I want to go with you." And she said, "No, it's too dangerous for you. You have to stay here." And I said, "Okay, well then." She gave me a kiss on my forehead, and she said, "Bye." And that was the last time I saw my mother.
What was your mom doing at the courtroom that day in the first place? Why did she go?
Because my mother is a very loving person, and that's why she was there. She was helping a friend who had been abused by her husband at that time. The name of her friend that was being abused was Susanna Remarata Blackwell. Susanna comes from the same island as my mother, the island of Masbate in the Philippines. And it's a small island in the Philippines. And when Susanna came here, she didn't really know many people. So that connection, that linguistic and that cultural connection she had with my mother, I think meant a lot to her.
When did you first discover that this murder that happened, your mother, her two friends, had become a well-known incident of domestic violence in Washington State?
I remember I was in class one day, maybe in a computer lab, and you know how like it's always fun to Google your name. One of the first things that showed up was my mom's name too. Everyone else was like, "Oh, I don't see anything," or nothing really pops up. And I remember I don't think I clicked it at school. And maybe later on that year, I went to Google again, and I typed in my mom's name. And that's when all the information came out. Archives on King 5, other people's and organizations' analysis on the case. And it's interesting because this is my mother. I never got the chance to really grow up with her.
There was also a day when you were in class, and on the syllabus in front of you, there was mention of the case surrounding the murders. What was that like? What happened there?
Yeah, it was really impactful. So from elementary school all throughout high school, I did not speak about my mother. I did not tell people who she was during Mother's Day, during like concerts, during just like school events. When people ask me, "Oh, where's your mom?" I was like, "Oh, and I don't really have a mom," and I'll end it there. And then it was a class on contemporary problems in Asian America. And I remember looking at the syllabus and I thought to myself, that's my mom, you know, that's the case. And I remember thinking, can I be in this space? Like, can I do this, you know? I was thinking to myself, I'll probably have to be looking at a lot of material that might be very triggering for me. Is it within my capacity at this time to speak openly about this? And I told myself, yeah, it is. It is.
I'm talking with Derek Dizon. He's the vigil coordinator for API Chaya. API stands for Asian Pacific Islanders. That's an organization that supports victims of domestic violence. As you've been talking about your mom here, you switch back and forth between present tense and past tense.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see your mom today?
Yeah, lately I've definitely been thinking about the different ways I see this case and the different ways I see my mother. I wasn't raised physically by my mother, but I say to people that her spirit still guides me and has been raising me this whole entire time and leads me to so many beautiful moments and the way in which this story blossoms so many beautiful things for our communities, so many great services and safety. I think that's a really amazing thing. And I also must add that I had two older brothers, and my eldest brother, Philbert, did an amazing job in raising me. He was my mother, and I saw my mother in her. And I continue to do so, and that really means a lot to me. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that when you were younger, you told people that you didn't have a mom.
Yeah.
And now you've talked about her spirit guiding you.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. Yeah. And I'm wondering when you made that transition, when you went from thinking of yourself as a motherless child to someone whose mother still guides you and touches you every day.
Mm-hmm. Growing up, the perception of a lot of people was that, oh, you were so young, you don't remember your mother. And I think for a while I kind of listened to that. Maybe I don't remember her. I don't remember her. But, you know, I see her in my face. And that to me is so powerful. Sometimes if I'm trying to remember my mother's face and I can't get a good picture, all I have to do is look in front of a reflection and I see her. And that reflection is not just in any mirror, it's in the communities I surround myself with. It's in my brother and even in this conversation right here.
I have to ask, because of the work that you do, there are plenty of people who know something about your mom.
Yes.
What do you remember about her that you would like other people to know?
I think right now, since my mind is really organizing mode, I want to say stuff like, she was courageous, she was brave, she risked her life, she did this and that. And from that case grew out this really great movement against anti-domestic violence and anti-human trafficking and sexual assault. But when I think about it, I think more so about her cooking. She made amazing cakes. And I remember as a child, from one of my birthdays, she made me a panda cake, and it was like the coolest thing ever. But it wasn't just for me that she made cakes. It wasn't just for my family, but it was for the community. She had many friends far and wide, and I think that speaks a lot about her compassion and her kindness and dedication to community.
You talked a little bit about this already, but I'm going to ask you again. Why do you put this vigil on?
So last year was my first time organizing this vigil. And when I was asked, what I didn't know is where it would have taken me, you know. We all have friends in our life that we would risk our own lives for, you know. And although the shootings happened 20 years ago, there are many Susana Remarata Blackwells out there. But at the same time, there are also many Phoebe Dizons out there. There are a lot of Veronica Loretta's out there. And that's what's also important to recognize. Is that yes, these systems of violence still continue to happen. They still are perpetuated through so many of our things in our world. But what centers me and what motivates me and inspires me to do this work is that there is hope. There is so much safety, and that safety and hope should be spread for everyone to experience, I feel.
Derek Dizon, he coordinates a vigil for victims of domestic violence every year with API CHIA. API stands for Asian Pacific Islanders. It's a local organization that fights domestic violence. He spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel. If you'd like to attend the vigil, it's later on today. It starts at 4 o'clock and runs till 6:30 at the King County Courthouse in downtown Seattle. This is The Record on KUOW.